You know, when you keep hearing bad news about the Earth's rising temperatures, it's hard to hold on to any hope. I mean, it does kind of seem like the climate is toast, but maybe that's the wrong message. Frances Moore LePay has been at the forefront of the sustainability movement for decades, ever since she wrote her landmark book, Diet for a Small Planet. And she thinks it's time to tell a different story about climate change. She even remembers the day she realized that.
I walked out of an enormously impressive climate conference a few years ago where all these top speakers, my heroes, all presented. The audience kept dwindling as the conference went on. And I walked out the door on the last day and I thought, wow, has lead landed, implanted in my bones? I could hardly move. I was so paralyzed. And I thought, wait a minute, this isn't working. And so I set out to reframe the challenge. And that had a lot to do with reframing hope itself.
Well, so for example, one of the constant refrains when we talk about climate change is the planet has limits. There's a limit on how much CO2 we can pump into the atmosphere. There's a limit on how many pesticides or fertilizers we can wash into the oceans before everything starts to collapse. What's a more hopeful or productive way of talking about that?
Well, this hitting the limits is really very negative, and it's inaccurate because it's not the Earth's limits that we've hit. We've hit the limits of the disruption that human beings can cause without enormous loss. And the alternative is a frame of alignment. Let's align with the laws of nature, and we know how to do that. And with food, which is the centerpiece of my life's work, I realized that as we align with the laws of nature, we actually can increase output where needed. We can do so in a way that is not harming us, the farm workers, the farmers, with chemicals, and we can protect biodiversity. I'm thinking about what we're learning, for example, with agroforestry, which is simply the integration of trees with cropped land. We could sequester carbon equivalent to about a third of greenhouse gas emissions in 2007. Agroforestry, it has re-greened an area the size of Costa Rica in southern Niger, which has looked almost desert-like a few decades ago. And now with 200 million trees growing there with crops, they have achieved food security for about 2.5 million people. This is not some new technical fix. It's about absorbing the lessons of nature and going with that.
Well, and going back to storytelling and the way we frame the story, why don't we hear more of the success stories? They kind of get drowned out.
I know. I wish I knew the answer to that. I think it's, you, I'm sure, have heard, if it bleeds, it leads in journalism. And I think there's an underappreciated hunger for solution stories. When we tell a story of solutions, people are riveted and they want to share that. So these stories of possibility, like the one I just shared about Niger.
One of the most hopeful threads that runs throughout your book, EcoMind, about how addressing climate change might mean empowering people around the world to make a difference. You know, for example, maybe by putting solar panels on their homes to sell electricity into the grid, that might actually wind up shifting how political power is distributed around the globe. Can you explain?
Well, it's could be that solar got monopolized, but it's very much more difficult. I mean, when you think about oil is concentrated in the ground, it takes millions, billions to bring it to the surface and to distribute it. That has led to a very highly concentrated industry, whereas solar is virtually everywhere, and we can all be producers. So there is an inherent in renewable energy, an inherent kind of democratic element of distributed power. And another aspect of this that I think is so important from a food perspective, presently our agricultural system contributes about a quarter of all greenhouse gas emissions. And yet we know that agriculture can be a great carbon absorber. So the poorest people on Earth, that is farmers in the global south who make up the majority of the world's hungry, they can be encouraged and enabled through just initial small loans and education to learn better ecological farming practices that store carbon in the soil, they are part of the solution. They become the climate heroes. In rural India, I've been so excited about reading there of thousands and thousands of villages moving to non-pesticide agriculture. Yes, it's ending hunger, ending poisoning by pesticides, but it also is sequestering more carbon.
Are you suggesting that humanism needs to be part of environmentalism in a way that it hasn't maybe been in the past?
Well, I'm suggesting that we haven't really thought of ourselves like organisms, other organisms in the ecosystem, and that we too respond to our context. I often fear that people who are gripped with fear, despair about the climate crisis believe that somehow we have to change human nature. We're too materialistic, we're too greedy, that something about our nature has gotten us into this situation. We have to step up and say, okay, what are the conditions that bring out the best in this species? And it's pretty clear to me. The dispersion of power, the transparency in human relationships, we all do better when things are transparent, and when we all take mutual accountability and drop the blame game.
Frances, I know you've spent your life working on change, but I'm curious, do you yourself personally, privately, at night, when you're all alone, really feel hopeful about the future?
Hope is not maybe not the right word for me. I have a sense of always a sense of possibility. You know, one of my favorite stories that does relate to climate change is Wangari Maathai. Wangari Maathai planted 7 trees on Earth Day in 1977. Her husband divorced her because the kitchen was too messy, too many seedlings growing, because she started this green belt movement, planting 20 million trees in Kenya, villagers all over the country. Once Wangari was given the Nobel Peace Prize, her stature rose and she connected with the UN Environmental Program. They started a Plant for the Planet program of 1 billion trees a year. And I thought, oh man, that's so optimistic. They could never do that. Well, you know what? That was 2007, and we're now at 13 billion trees planted by people all over the earth. And I go back in my mind and think, well, that was Wangari. 1977, planting her 7 trees. So, you know, I keep that alive in me, that sense of you never know.
Frances Moore-LePay's books include Eco Mind and Diet for a Small Planet. And in case you'd like to hear Wangari Maathai in her own words, you can find an interview with her on our website. That's at ttbook.org.